Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Psalms, and we're in Psalm 30. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. It says, "But in His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." This is David's certainty. We have his strength, we have his certainty, and this is what I've learned. It's funny because I work with young men and older guys. The older guys, they understand at least the idea of taking some advice because they want to share it with the younger guys. But the younger guys sometimes don't think I need any advice. The problem is if you take that disposition, you don't get the goods. They used to say about this one guy at work years ago, they say he's forgotten more about the trade than you'll ever know. David is a man who would have forgotten more about walking with the Lord than we will ever know. See? So when we listen to him, we're getting something good. And he says, "I've learned that his anger is like a wink. It's just like a blink of the eye. But in his favor is life. Weeping." Yeah, you're going to have that. You know, this is a fallen, broken world. And the more you walk around, the more you see evil prevailing. "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." Not just collecting yourself. Joy! Joy. Verse 6 says, "In my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved." Most people cannot endure prosperity. That's a lot to take. Prosperity comes from a word that means ease and security. It means to be tranquil, to be secure, successful, happy, prosperous, or be in safety. It is 1 Corinthians 10 that says, "Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." And we need to be careful about that. Because tranquility or prosperity sometimes makes us think we got this. We got a clicker for this, we got a clicker for that. We push a button, we get an answer. Our cars, they keep us warm as we drive through snowstorms. They keep us dry when it's raining because we're driving and making really good speed, even in those times. Everything about our lives is comfortable. I know many of you in this room remember when you had to get home and get out of the car and open the garage door. I'd always pull up and say, "Linda, can you get that?" No, I didn't. I might say it, but I wouldn't mean it. But it was kind of one of those days where everything was hard. There was hot days, and they were hot. Cars were not coming automatically with air conditioning, right? We remember this, but the younger generation is even more prosperous than we are because they don't even have an inkling of what I'm talking about when we get back there, some of the things far enough. But prosperity is a dangerous thing. It was Spurgeon who said, "Prosperity has no built-in humbling agent for the heart of a human, whereas poverty does. We are humbled naturally by poverty." And so what I want to suggest to you is that we have David in a position of prosperity. He's gotten to the place where he used to say, "And David went, and David went, and David went to war." And then it said, David sent to war. And when he sent, he was at home tearing alone, looking over the top of his house. And he sees Bathsheba. He should have went instead of sent. But because he didn't, in his prosperity, he said, "I shall never be moved." And so that became a downfall for him. And what we see here now before us is David's supplication. We've seen his strength. We've seen his certainty when he told the people what they need to do. Now we see his supplication. He says, "In my prosperity," verse 6, "I said, I shall never be moved." And verse 7 says, "Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong." And it says, "Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled." You remember David saying in Psalm 32 and Psalm 51, when I was silent, his hand was heavy upon me. He says, "I was troubled here." And this is perhaps very much what we would feel if we were walking contrary to our Father. Troubled. I just can't figure anything out. Nothing goes right. Do you ever marvel that sometimes you'll go for a day or two and everything's going wrong? And you know why. You kind of do. It's back there. Yeah. And you don't fix it, you know. And then the next day, everything goes right. And you laugh because God is nice to you anyway. God's nice to you anyway. Why? Because God's good. And he understands. The Bible says we have an high priest who understands the weakness of our infirmity. And he can be touched by that. He understands how hard it is. And so we have a perfect high priest. He says, I was troubled. But the interesting thing about verse 7, it says, Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. My mountain. You know what a mountain is? A mountain is something that can be seen far away. Right? You see that mountain far away. Now, mountains have to do with kingdoms, but the issue here is his mountain. Yes, the Davidic covenant. He knows because God has been good. He says, you know, I was troubled. You know, it was your favor that supported me. He says, you hid your face because of it. I get that. But you know what? You made my mountain stand strong. I'm going to have influence way beyond my lifespan. And he does. We talk about him today. We ruminate over his experience today. And we glean from his experience. His mountain's seen today, just over yonder. One day we're going to get the specifics, but right now we can just ruminate in the fact that this is part of what motivates his willingness. Listen, his willingness to go and make supplication. Why would we pray when we're a mess? Because we can. Because we can. He says, I was troubled. He says, I cried to thee, Lord, in verse 8. And unto the Lord I made supplication. How could he do that? Because God was so good to him. He says, your favor, verse 7, it's by your favor. It's by your favor I can make supplication. He says, what profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Interesting. This is a song, right? What melody do you hear right here? What melody do you hear? Read it again, thinking of a song. What profit is there in my blood? When I go down to the pit, shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Do you know what he's done? He says, you know, I know I've messed up, but I'm still going to praise you because you alone are worthy of that. It was never about me. It was never me and mine. It was never I. It was you. You alone save. You alone sustain. And you alone see to it that I make it home. I may be beaten, battered, because I make bad choices sometimes, but Jesus remains the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. And because he's merciful and because he's good, we can make supplication, even when we don't feel worthy to. You'll hear people say sometimes, I'd go to church, but brother, if I came into the church, it'd fall down. Well, I can tell them it won't, because I know a whole lot of us could make the church fall down. God was keeping the count. Right? He could. Such were some of us, but we're washed, we're cleansed. Man, come on in. Jesus has open arms. And the Bible says he made supplication and then he began to sing. And I see victory in this because he ends it by saying, who shall praise you and who shall declare your truth? And when I see the word blood, obviously, right? There it is. Jesus' blood is what cleanses us. And what profit is there in my blood? I got nothing. I couldn't die for my sins. It wouldn't fix me. But I do have praise for you because I see the sacrifices and I see the blood on the altar and I see the lamb's blood over the door and the lentils and I see Jesus afar off. David called Jesus Lord. When Jesus asked the Pharisees, tell me whose son is the Messiah, and he says, he's David's son. He says, why does David call him Lord if he's David's son? Because he's God. David saw it. David knew it. Abraham saw my day and he rejoiced. David saw his day as well because every one of us, past, present, and future, are saved by faith. He says in verse 10, he says, hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Now he's stepping out there, isn't he? I mean, he's asking for something he really doesn't deserve. Think about that. He says, I've blown it. You've made my mountain to shine. I mean, it's going to be seen and it's by your favor that I have any standing. What would he say at the building of the house? What was the house for? The house was for sacrifices. He'd say, this is who he is. He's a forgiving God. The blood makes an atonement for the soul. And I can pray. And I can come. And I can enter in sad, come out glad, right? This is why David said he wanted to abide by the tent. Because he would see people go in sad and they come out glad. He said, I get it. Even the swallows would come. Those little birds would come in and make nests. He said, even they want to be near you. I want to be near you. Because there's no other place I can get this thing fixed. I got this wound and only God knows about it. He says, have mercy, verse 10. Be thou my helper. And that is what we desire. Every way, everywhere, be thou my helper, God. And he says, beyond that, thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Now, when you understand the unfolding of this passage, you see that not only have we seen his supplication, but what we're seeing now is really David's song. When you come down to it and he begins to say, "Hear, O Lord, have mercy, what profit is in my blood?" He's singing. He's singing at the higher levels because it's coming to the culmination. You know, a song typically will move to some sort of a crescendo. He says, "There's no profit in my blood. It's nothing here. You're the helper. Be thou my helper." He says, "You have turned my mourning." Why was he mourning? Because he died again and again and again on his own sin. And God kept bringing him back to life. Now I want you to know, when you think about how father love and mother love is, it gives for its loved ones. It lays down its life in a way that is willing to take the reproach. When the prodigal returned, the father left his hillside window and he ran down to grab his son and hug him, even though he had lived in profligacy, chasing skirts and drinking and expending all of his inheritance. Everything was lost! But he hugged him. And the reason he did it was because the rest of the people in town could have stoned him with stones. He said, "If you're going to stone him, you're going to need to stone me." And that's who you and I have as our father. He said, "I'll take Jesus and I'll take the reproach and I'll even identify with you." You know, in Hebrews it says he's not ashamed to call us his children. He's not ashamed to be called our God. Shouldn't he be? If I were drawing the picture up, I'd have drawn it a little bit different. And many people do try to superimpose their own picture on who God is. But you listen to God. Don't listen to your inner voice or outer voices out there. You listen to God. He is not ashamed to call you his children and not ashamed to be called your God. And you get a chance to praise him. He says, "You've turned my mourning to dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth," what? A death. "And girded me with gladness." He says, "To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever." Oh man! You want to be talking about Thanksgiving? We're looking at a thing that we can do forever. In glory one day, we're going to be glorified. We're going to be cut loose. All of our vocal cords are going to be completely in tune. And we're going to be able to sing to the highest heights. And there's going to be lift for eternity. The Bible calls it everlasting joy. It says everlasting joy will be upon our brow. There will be no sadness. No sorrow. We're going to be home. We're going to be home. Now, for you, for me, we've come through a Thanksgiving season. When we say, who's got something they're thankful for, we have everything to be thankful for. Do you know that everywhere you go is holy ground? Because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And where that temple went, God went. And now you have everything made sacred. Because God is in you. And God in you is the hope of glory. Do you have strength? Do you have a certainty? Do you have a supplication? You should. If you need one today, he's open to you coming. He already knows. And when he gives you that lift, you'll have your song back. And you'll praise him and thank him forever. Would you bow with me for a moment? Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30, and we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.